The old saying rings true with stock investors, just like everyone else. Misery loves company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Markets around the world are taking another big hit today after yesterday's surprising sell-off on Wall Street. European shares are much lower right now, 3% or more for London. Asian markets gave back 3% to 5% today. We're going to get analysis of what's going on in the world markets in just a moment. It is, of course, global reaction to what happened on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ lost 5% of their values. The Dow plunged 512 points, 4.3%, to close at 11,383, wiping out all of its gains, all of them, for 2011. Now, investors are keeping their eyes peeled on a couple of major economic events today. The July U.S. employment report, which comes out in about an hour and a half or so, and a conference call between French and German leaders to discuss what more they can do to bail out weaker European countries. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with that story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So I want to ask, I mean, why this horrific drop all of a sudden? I mean, didn't we already know about European debt?
Yeah, but there is this growing fear that the big one is looming, that Italy won't be bailed out. It's too big to bail, and that could lead to a default by Italy, the third biggest economy in the Eurozone. This is, of course, now added to the additional worry that the US may be headed for another recession. But the fundamental concern unnerving investors, according to Mark Ostwald of the Monument Securities firm, is political. He says that investors are worrying that politicians are failing to tackle deep-rooted economic and financial problems, and not just on this side of the pond.
This crisis of governance that we have in the Eurozone is not limited to the Eurozone. In the US, obviously, the whole debate over the debt ceiling has created a loss of faith.
A loss of faith. So if everyone has lost faith, Stephen, what are investors doing? I mean, the money has to go somewhere.
Ostwald says, they're making a mistake. They're dumping shares as well as government bonds. He says that government bonds, given the political failures we're talking about, are clearly not the safe haven assets they used to be. He says investors should be buying the shares of big U.S. and European companies.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Over to Asia now, where, as I mentioned, markets plunged as well, and like here in the U.S., lost most of their gains this year. The BBC's Mariko Oi reports from Singapore.
Asian markets were leading the global recovery, and most of their economies are thought to be fundamentally strong. But from Sydney to Hong Kong to Tokyo, all Asian markets ended the day 4 to 5% lower. But we already knew about all the broader economic concerns, so why the panic now? David Cohen is Director of Asian Economic Forecasting with Action Economics.
As we saw just a couple of years ago, when the U.S. and Europe suffered a recession, the Asian economies were not immune. Even China saw a slowdown. And I think there's the concern, if the U.S. were to go into a double dip recession, that would be felt here in Asia.
Opinions are split. Some analysts say it seems to be a knee-jerk reaction. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Mariko Oi for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
To the Middle East now. In July, the Palestinian Authority cut government workers' salaries in half. That's because promised donations haven't come through. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
In the garden of a tea house in Nablus, Khaled Abad is playing backgammon with a friend. He used to come here almost every day, but he can't afford to come that often anymore. He works for the Palestinian Authority's health department, and like all public employees here, he only got half his salary.
I've cut everything in my life in half.
Khalid Abad isn't only cutting back at the tea house. He stopped paying for his telephone, and other bills are piling up too.
The landlord has been asking me about the rent. I'm doing what the Palestinian Authority is doing to us. I'm making promises.
The Palestinian government does have money. It's a question of how it can spend it. 40 minutes from the tea house in Ramallah, construction workers are finishing three big buildings that'll house government offices. Asad Khatib, who's the spokesman for the Palestinian Authority, says the government can't stop construction to pay salaries.
The room of maneuvering is limited because most of the projects, especially infrastructure projects, are financed by earmarked money coming from specific donors for specific projects.
Among the donors who haven't paid up are Arab countries, which need the money at home to deal with the ongoing unrest in this region. Khatib says whatever the reasons, the missing salaries are hurting the Palestinian economy. That's because the government is the biggest employer here, about 150,000 workers. But about 1 million people are thought to depend on those salaries.
The salaries are a significant part of the liquidity that is usually pumped into the market. And when this liquidity is shrinked by half, it will affect the demand in the market.
Rolling the dice onto the backgammon board, Khalid Abad, the health inspector, says the government is playing with his life. He says, we're their people. The government has to take responsibility. In Nablus, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, New Hampshire police are looking for a thief who stole $90 and a GPS device from a woman's purse in a grocery store. But the man apparently felt so bad about what he'd done, he later returned those items. The robber went to the woman's house, gave her the $90 back with $10 interest and a new cord for the GPS. He also left a note before he ran off that said he was sorry, had fallen on hard times, and signed it, stupid. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.